Some of you are still laughing. Let's stand together and we'll read a portion of Scripture. And then we'll look at what the Lord is trying to teach us tonight about temptation. Just a curious question. Has anybody this past week had any temptation? Who has not? I'm more interested in who has not had any temptation this past week. So we're going to talk about a subject that's pretty common to all of us, right? How many of you believe it's possible to withhold temptation? To hold back and not follow through with it? To yield? Is it possible to say no? Is it? Alright. Matthew chapter 4. Some may say, yeah, if you're Jesus, you can. Well, He set the example for us to follow, and He would not ask us to do anything or put us through anything that we weren't able to do. So verse 1 says, then, by the way, have you ever noticed when the devil seems like he works the hardest? When you're at your highest spiritual point. When things are like really going well in your life spiritually, it seems like the devil wants to knock your legs out from under you. And then once he gets you down, he likes to kick on you. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Jesus had just been baptized. Verse 17 of chapter 3, lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That's probably a pretty good day. God's pleased. Jesus has set an example. And everything's good. But look at the next thing that happens. Chapter 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. By the way, I do believe that sometimes the Lord leads us into dangerous places. He didn't tempt us. Don't jump ahead of me. But He'll lead us in a place for a testing. And here exactly, Jesus is led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to Him, He said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into a holy city, setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest that any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Verse 7, Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceedingly high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Verse 11 says, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. Heavenly Father, we pause tonight, thanking you for all the blessings. We thank you, Lord, for opportunity that you've given us one more time, this side of eternity, to come together and worship. And Lord, I pray tonight that everything will be done according to your will and plan. Lord, I pray that your Spirit will have freedom in this building tonight. And Lord, especially during the invitation time, if there's needs in this building, then Lord, we will step away from our pride and we'll move for you, Lord, tonight. Whatever you ask us to do. Lord, I thank you again for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. There's a lot of Scripture about being tempted, and I'm going to look at some of these at least tonight and try to draw a conclusion out of this. But I would honestly tell you tonight, it's not a sin to be tempted. That is not a sin. How do I know that? Because Jesus was tempted, and we know He never sinned. So being tempted is not a sin. Something that I noticed in my studies this week that really I never paid attention to. See, according to Hebrews, let's just flip there. Keep your Bible marked in Matthew. But go with me to Hebrews real quick, and let's do a little background, and once we get that out of the way, it'll make it easier for me to get to the point. Hebrews chapter 4. How many of you believe all the Bible is true? All of it. I do. I don't think there's one misprint anywhere. So whatever we read, we got to say, that's the truth. And so chapter 4 of Hebrews, verse 14 says, Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. In other words, when you're sick, He knows about it. He knows what it's like to be sick. When you hurt, He knows. He knows what it's like to hurt. But notice what else He said. But was in all points. Y'all still reading like I am, right? King James Bibles, right? And it says, in all points tempted like as we are. Now, you think about your temptation this week. Everybody here, raise your hand. Yeah, preacher, been tempted. And you're telling me that Jesus was tempted just like you. That's what you're telling me. And that's what I've read. Now, I'm asking you, y'all believe that? I do too. And I think the most important thing is He said in all points. You and I may be tempted by internet and this and that and the other. Jesus was not tempted with internet. Believe it or not, it's a shocker. They didn't have internet. They didn't have Facebook during Jesus' day. But the point is, the way of temptation was the same. The means of it. And everything that you and I face in our life, He faced. Now, look what it says. Yet without sin. Y'all buying into that now? You're sitting here tonight and you're saying, He's tempted just like I am, but He never sinned. Let me ask you all a question. Don't raise your hand and vote. But how many of you that were tempted this week went on with the temptation and sinned? Guess what? He did not. He did not sin. Isn't that amazing? And then it said this, because of everything I just read, verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. The part I want you to get before I get all into this tonight is the point that says in the time of need. When do you think I need the Lord's help most importantly? Well, I'm going to tell you myself, when that temptation comes up in my life and I haven't sinned yet. Now, Patty, I said you can be tempted not sin. So the temptation's come up and I haven't sinned yet, Doug. So when do I need God the most? When do I need Jesus the most? At that point, right there, at that moment in time, He said, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we might find mercy in the time of need. You and I need God's help at that moment in time to say no. That's what we need. And the only way that's going to happen is if you will come to God. Not a person in this building has the ability in themselves to say no. Brother John goes to jail every Friday, and there's people in there who say, I'm going to quit what I'm doing. Right? You hear that weekly? And the reason they don't quit, and the reason that John was seeing them in 2 or 3 months, is because they try to quit and they can't. And I'm telling you, you don't have any more ability than the people John talked to every Friday. But here's what the Bible says. We got to come to the throne of God in our time of need that we might get grace. God will help you say no. It's not in your ability, it's in His ability. Now, I think we've got to get that tonight. Now, getting that all together, y'all believe that Jesus was tempted like you were. Now, I've got to show you the difference, okay? Here's the difference. You and I, when we're tempted, we say the devil, right? I can remember in the 70s, I think it was, there's a TV star called Flip Wilson. Some of you that may have been sinful people like I was and watched this guy, he'd always say, the devil made me do it. How many can remember that? I got some of you to admit you're sinful like me, and we watched that junk. Well, I can remember. You and I do not have that excuse tonight. You and I do not have that excuse. Now, but preacher, the devil, he's been working on me this week. I want you to think about what you're saying. Jesus was tempted by the devil. You and I are tempted in a different way. Now I got some eyebrows. I like when I get eyebrows. That means for the next 5 or 10 minutes, you'll probably listen to me. I want you to think who Jesus was. The Bible says that He was the God-man. He was God, Brother Mike, but He was also man. Everybody with me? Now, here is the significant difference. Jesus was not fathered by a man. I got your confusion now. Jesus was not fathered by a man. He was fathered by the Holy Spirit in a mother's womb. Y'all with me? Jesus did not have the fleshly nature.
That's right.
Oh, I've got people waiting to go home and look this up. Jesus was tempted like you and I, but the difference was the devil had to come to Him face to face. If you go to your Old Testament and you read about Adam and Eve in the garden, it wasn't that Eve was sitting around one day thinking, wonder why I can't have that food. I know that Adam said, God said, but you know, I'm not buying into all that. Why can't I have that food? Did that happen to Eve? No. What happened to Eve? The devil popped up, didn't he? He said, hey. You know why the devil popped up, Scott? Because Adam and Eve did not have a sinful nature. They were created in God's image and His likeness, and they had not sinned yet. And because of that, the devil made a personal appearance in their life and said, hey, look here. You can have that. You want that. That'd be good. That'll make you smart. That looks good. And it's desirable. Next thing you know, they take the fruit. And here's the deal with Jesus. Satan himself showed up. And Satan himself began to tempt and lure and trick the best of his ability Jesus, just like He did with Eve. But guess what? He failed. He's tempted in the same way you and I are. Same points and everything. Now you say, well, preacher, what's the difference? We're tempted of the devil. I knew you was going to say that. I knew you was going to say we're tempted of the devil. That's why we got to go back to the book of James. Let's go back to the book of James. James chapter 1. How many of you have already lost? Who's still with me? All right. The rest of them would think it's halftime. Game's not started, folks, really, trust me. James chapter 1, verse number 13. James 1:13. Y'all get agree that the Bible is true, right? All of it. Every bit of it, right? Verse 13 says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempteth He any man. Well, preacher, where does my temptation come from? I'm glad you brought that up. Look at the next verse. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away by the devil and enticed. Huh? Somebody said no. What does your Bible say? Of his own lust. Is that your own Bible saying? Bobby, yours that thing? Pretty much text, yet? Yeah? Everybody over here saying? Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You know what was not mentioned in all that, Todd? Satan. Y'all notice that, man? Satan's name was not even mentioned in that whole thing about temptation. You know why? Because, Karen, you're going to be shocked at this, but Mike was born a sinner with a sinful nature. And we all know Karen was, right, Mike? That's a done deal. And here's the thing. The devil, realistically, Scott, doesn't have to do anything much but just put some stuff out there. Because of the sinful nature of those two people, automatically the temptation is going to say, why can't I? I want that. Who said I can't? Not the devil pushing the buttons. It's your nature, your lust. It's the lust that's already in you. And what the Bible's telling us is, Jesus went through the same sort of deal, but guess what? He was face to face with the tempter himself. The Satan was called the tempter in the Bible. Jesus faced him head on, And he did it the same way Adam and Eve was faced head on, except Jesus said no, and because he said no, you and I had somebody that could die in our place and get our sins forgiven. Isn't that great? But more importantly than that, Patty, you've got somebody when you're being tempted tomorrow or tempted tonight to help you say no. That's even more important. After I'm saved, heaven, I'm heaven bound. I can't wait to get there, Brother Mike. We talked about this morning. But I can tell you what, I'm not in heaven yet, and I need some help right now saying no to temptation. Not no to the devil, no to temptation. Making sense a little bit? Go with me to 1 John. 1 John. I'm almost got all the introduction out of the way. You say, whew, we're not going to make kickoff. I promise we will. 1 John chapter 2. Once I get all the pieces of the puzzle together, then we can just run, right? 1 John chapter 2 says, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the devil. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abides forever. Brian's looking at me. What did I misread, Brian?
Yours must have a misprint because mine says the world.
How many of you's Bibles say the world like Brian's does? Mine does too. I'm just checking to see if you're following. See, you and I want to blame this devil for everything. I'm going to tell you something. He's behind it all. He's the cause of it all. He's behind it all. But you and I can't use that as a scapegoat the rest of our lives. We've got this nature, and Scott, whether the devil shows up tonight or not in my life, the desires of my life are still there, the flesh is still there, and while my eyes weren't still there, the desires are still there, and all the devil has to do is give me opportunity to fall into that trap that he has set. And you and I have got to learn the same thing that Jesus learned, how to say no. I think this is a great way that you can learn tonight, but just follow an example. So we look back at Jesus. Now we're to the lesson. Woo, finally, right? In the book of Matthew, the fourth chapter, we got the story. If I was to turn you to the book of Luke, the fourth chapter, the only difference you'll read there is this. Jesus not only fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, but according to Luke chapter 4, he was tempted every day. Now you and I read that story in Matthew chapter 4. We see that, let's just read it, a little bit of it. The Bible said that he led the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungry. So here you and I read in Matthew 4. And we got this in our mind, that Jesus had fasted 40 days. How many of you have ever fasted 40 days? How many have done more than a couple of days? How many have trouble with a few hours? I'm a grazer. When I was in the hospital a while back, they had to run this test. They said, Mr. Meese, you can't eat for so many hours before the test. And they kept putting the test off. Y'all with me? And every time they put the test off, my belly would say, whoa, whoa, whoa. I could have ate 2 hours ago. And then, you know, finally it's like 14 or 15 hours, and I could have ate 6 hours ago and still been legally to take the test. And I thought I was going to die. I even told her, she said, go give me some chewing gum. I just need to taste something. But the Bible said Jesus went 40 days without eating. I believe what it says, you all.
Amen.
I believe that 100%. But let me tell you the difference, according to Matthew and according to Luke. The difference, Luke gives us a little pinch more, and Luke says, and was tempted 40 days and 40 nights. Not only was he not eating, John, the devil was right there in his face every day. Now, I feel like that myself. I feel like every day, do you ever notice when you're trying to do good, the devil somehow allows something to be put right in front of your face? And again, it's not the devil that tempted you, it's already that lust in it. Prime example, I can't eat, right? Take this test. What do you think happened, Brother Greg? You guessed it. Here comes the lady with the food cart. Rolled it in my room, took the cover off, and I said, ma'am, I don't think I'm allowed to eat this. She opened up, she said, you're right, close it up and push it out. Y'all with me? Now, it wasn't wasn't the devil that was making me want the food. It was the lust that's already in there. The devil just made the opportunity. Y'all with me? Now y'all with me. After I kicked a couple of times, get your way. I ate a couple of them sugar things on the cake too. But Jesus is trying to teach us something today. He said, you can do this. You can do this because I did this. And here's how you got to do it. You got to lean upon God. Oh, preacher, I knew you was going to say that. But it's deeper than that. And Jesus tells us how He did it. The Bible said the tempter came to Him, verse 3, and said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Question. Could Jesus turn rocks to bread, Kim? Kim says, yeah. Y'all, I think that would have been the best bread you've ever ate. And I'm telling you something. He hadn't had bread for 40 days, Brother Mike. That's a temptation. Devil set the trap. If you are the Son of God, turn these rocks to bread. Why are we reading in the book of John, the lust of the flesh? What do you think Jesus' belly was saying? Bread. Right? He's got this fleshly body. His fleshly body has to be fed. It bled when they crucified Him. And I guarantee you, the belly growled when He was hungry. Jesus probably felt the hunger pains of fasting, Brother Dub. I think He felt the pains of that. He knew what that was like to go through. And yet, here He is being tempted, and he pushed off the lust of the flesh. Now, if He did it, you can do it. And here's how He did it. Y'all ready? Here's what He did. Look at the verse. Verse 4. He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What Jesus did was, is He simply gave Him Scripture. Jesus quoted Scripture. You say, oh, yeah, but He wrote the book. I agree. But He also told you and I in Psalms 119, verse 11, hide the word in my heart that I might not... Remember, it's not a sin to be tempted. It's a sin when the temptation, and you put your hands on it, and you touch it, you eat it, you do it. That's when the sin comes in. And because you and I hide word in our heart, when we have that desire, the lust of the flesh, by the way, the lust of the flesh gets you and I in a bunch of trouble. We think we have to have that. You know what happens in most marriages? Especially when I find out marriages in the 40s and 50s. It's really crazy. But these people get in their 40s and 50s and they start feeling old. I call them midlife crisis. You can see them a mile away. They start letting their hair grow out. If we see Jason come in and got a shirt unbuttoned about there and a gold chain, we need to tackle him. He's fixing to have a midlife crisis. And all of a sudden, the flesh starts feeling old and useless. And somebody, you probably went to a high school reunion and you was the big star of the ball team. And now you walk in and you're 55 pounds heavier and you couldn't even see the floor if you had to because there's something else in the way. And all of a sudden, you start feeling old. And the lust of the flesh says, I need to go to the gym. And you go to the gym, and if you've ever been in one of those gyms, they've got what on the wall? They do, don't they? What do you think they're there for? To show you how fat you are. Every time I've ever been, there's always this really buff guy. He's up. And they walk by it. They stretch, you know. Y'all been to gyms. Y'all seen movies or something. You know what I'm talking about. And all of a sudden, you want to be that guy. And I used to be that guy. That guy should have seen me 50 years ago. He don't know nothing. And so all of a sudden, the lust of the flesh begins to draw into our mind. And before you know it, we're starting to think wrong. And then the next thing you know, some gal about 10 years younger than you comes up and says, I would have never guessed you was 50. '49. And before you know it, it's conversation. Lust of the flesh. I'm telling you, your flesh is saying... Now, but also something else is talking. If you're a saved person, God's talking. And let me tell you the best way to make sure God's going to talk to you. Y'all ready? Make sure that you have got the Word of God in your life. You read this book all you can read it. So when she says you don't look like you're 50, God's Word is going to pop into your head and say, no, you look 70. God's Word is going to tell you it's a sin to look at another man's wife. And it's a sin to Jesus even said it's a sin to lust after a woman with your heart. Not even to put your finger on her, but to think it in your heart. Jesus said you've already committed adultery. Where did this all start at? It all started with the look of the eye. It all started with the lust of the flesh. And Jesus said, the way I deal with the lust of the flesh is I just take the Word of God and I hide it in my heart. And when that lust of the flesh pops up about eating bread, Jesus said, I know that verse. You don't have to live by bread alone. Well, the devil wasn't done. He's not done. You think when you get through that deal tomorrow and that girl tells you, boy, you look like you're 50, not 50, and you look this age, and you say, whoa, I got through that real good, you know. And next thing you think the devil's done, he's not done. Look what he did with Jesus. He said in verse number 5, the devil taketh him to a holy city, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. Now, here's what you may be surprised at. The devil knows the Bible too. You don't look surprised at that. But here's where the devil's really tricky. The devil don't quote it exactly right. The devil will give you a little piece. Now, I challenge you to go home tonight and look up the scriptures in the book of Psalms for number 6, for verse number 6, and you'll find out, or verse number 8, you'll find out that he didn't quote the whole verse. Verse number 6, excuse me. The Bible says, and he said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee in their hands, they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. The devil almost quoted that verbatim, except he left out a key phrase. And the key phrase he left out is, those who are going the way of God. Okay? Now you go home and read the rest of that, and you'll see what the devil left out. I'm telling you tonight, what are you saying, preacher? I'm telling you that God will take care of you as long as you're going in the right direction. I'm a believer in that. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, what? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and what will He do? He'll direct your path. But you know what? You've got to acknowledge Him. You've got to go His way. Now, the whole idea of Jesus being taken up on this pinnacle was to tempt him with his eyes. Jesus is up on the temple pinnacle. He's probably about 500 foot from the ground because the pinnacle of the temple is set right on the cliff, and you look down and you see the valley of the shadow of death. It's about a 500 foot drop right there as you look down the corner of that pinnacle. He's got Jesus up there, and he says, Jesus, the Bible says there's angels out there to protect you. And you won't even scar your foot when you jump. He said, jump down, angels will get you. Now let me ask you a question. How many of you believe that there's angels at Jesus' beckon and call?
Amen.
It even tells us about the time of His crucifixion. At any moment in time, John, He could have called 10,000. What the Bible says. He could have called this thing off. So, Jesus knew that. But you know what? All of a sudden, the devil's trying to tempt him. How many times have you and I been tempted by our eyes? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. Now look on down with me, verse number 7. Jesus said unto him, it is written, again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And again the devil taketh him up into exceedingly high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. You say, well, preacher, I see more of the eyes there. You don't see the big picture. The big picture is the devil's promising Jesus kingdoms. And here's what the devil wants you and I to think. The devil wants you and I to think tonight that God's withholding from us. You understand what I just said? Here's Adam and Eve in the garden.
And God said you can eat everything you want to eat here. You can eat everything except this one fruit. And all the devil has to do is show up and say, you know what? God's withholding from you. The best food's over there on that tree. You've done tried all this, but the best one, the one you all can't eat, it's the best one. God's withholding on you. That's the kind of God you all serve. Now you say, preacher, that don't happen to me. Sure it does. Because you and I get tempted to do what we shouldn't be doing. And the reason we don't do it is because we know God's Word said not to. But if we're not careful, we'll start talking ourselves out of it. Why does God care? This won't hurt God any. And I'll give you a great illustration. A lot of times in couples that are not married, that are living together, they'll get into this and they'll say, I think God's okay with this because we made a commitment to each other. Here's the problem. The way we make a commitment to each other, according to the laws of America, is by standing before justice of the peace, a judge, a preacher, somebody who can give you a legal license. Technically, you go pay the $37. Is it more than that? Who's got married lately? How much is it? You get your marriage license now.
$35.
Basically, it's a done deal when you pay the $35, really. It really is. And here's what God is saying. To make this right, you need that piece of paper. To make this right, you need this piece of paper. In your mind, you're saying, it's just a piece of paper. But God said it's wrong. And all the devil says is, Jared, it's just a piece of paper. Ain't that how the devil kind of does? Just a piece of paper. And then your body, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, and what's the pride of life? The pride of life is trying to get what is rightfully yours. And you think that this is rightfully mine. Now I can do this. And so the next thing you do is you go for it. And what you've done is sinned. Because the Bible said sex outside of marriage is sin. I did not write this book. I didn't make that stuff up. You all agreed all night that God's Word is true. And the only way you're going to ever be saved from doing those sinful things is if you will hide the Word in your heart. Every time Adam sinned, he knew it. Because the Spirit of God reminded me. Every time you and I sin, Doug, we know it. But here's the kicker. I don't want to sin. How many of you are like me? You don't want to do it. Well, here's what God says you've got to do. You've got to hide this Word so when that time comes that you will make the right decision. Being tempted, it's going to happen before you get out of here. Being tempted happens during the invitation, I guarantee it. Being tempted is going to be a part of your life. But sinning don't have to be. And here's what God says to do. Make the right decision. I wish Luke said the same thing Matthew said. The Bible said in verse 11 of chapter 4 of Matthew, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. And guess what? The devil never bothered him again, and happily ever after. Let's sing a song. Kumbaya. Y'all know it? It's not the real world. In the book of Luke, the 4th chapter, when it talks about the same situation, the Bible said the devil left him for a what? A season. I can tell you something tonight. If the devil's not bothering you, if he's not setting any traps in front of you, be ready. It's coming. It's coming. The devil never leaves you alone for very long a time. He's always going to come back. And he'll come back at different times. He came back to Jesus. The next time we're going to really see him come after Jesus is the day of his crucifixion. He's going to be there at the garden. He's going to be there in the upper room. He's going to do everything possible to try to keep Jesus from going to the cross. But guess what he did? He went to the cross. Now, I got 4 minutes. Try and get you home. But I got to give you this. Go with me to the book of Ephesians, 6th chapter, and we're done.
You said, preacher, but realistically, all you're saying is we've got to have the Word of God in our life.
I'm telling you, Jesus fought off temptation, and every time He did it was with the Word of God. Have y'all read that with me tonight? Now, according to Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible tells us that you and I are in a war. Y'all agree with that? Let's just read it. Verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. This is Ephesians 6. And in the power of His might, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. Not necessarily the devil, Bobby, but the tricks of the devil. Remember, I think the devil already knows that I've got this fleshly nature. And this nature already has desires and wants, and he already thinks things. And the devil knows that, but Ronnie's got some tricks up his sleeve. And this is what the Bible says. You can fight off the tricks of the devil. I'm interested in that. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles and tricks of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. In other words, Todd is not my enemy. Patty's not my enemy. Sometimes we get so mad at people, I can scream, I can hit them, I can kick them, I can do all these things. But listen, that's not your enemy. God just said, our enemy is not flesh and blood, Brother Greg. It's not. It's the devil. He's behind it all. You and I have the nature. All he's got to do is make the problems in front of you. You'll do the rest. That's what the devil knows. The devil said, all I got to do for David is I got to put this pretty woman up on the roof taking a bath. All I gotta do, I just gotta get Bathsheba up on the roof, Mike. If I can get Bathsheba up on the roof, I know how David is. If I can get her up there and get her to take a bath, I can get David up there. And once I get David up there, David will do the rest. He don't need no help. And you know what? The story's history, correct? You and I are fighting against something way bigger than you and I are. And I hope when you walk out here tonight, we're going to go home, we're out to Super Bowl, everybody have a good time. And I want you to know something. Either one of those teams might beat each other at a different night. But I'm telling you, when you're talking about the devil and the Lord, the battle's the same every day. And the victory can be the same every day. I can tell you this about God, and I can tell you this about the devil. God always beats the devil. Amen. He will never, ever lose to the devil. I can tell you this tonight, that on that mountain, Jesus could have stomped the devil's head. I like a good fight. It's been a cage match on a mountain. And I picked Jesus, and I promise you, He would have done it. He did it at Calvary, but He could have done it that day. Why didn't He do it that day? Because He knew that Dove one day would need a way to get out of temptation. So He went through it to help Dove out. Ain't that great?
Why don't the devil give up?
Why don't he give up? Well, here's why, Patty. I'm glad you asked. That's a good question to ask. Let me tell you why I don't give up. Because he wants to destroy you. And the devil knows that if you're saved, that I can't really mess with her. But because she's saved, if I can ruin her life and I can make her quit on God, then all the people that watch Patty will say, nah, that God ain't nobody. And you know what? The devil knows his time is limited. And he wants to take all he can to hell with him. How's that sound?
Right.
He knows. Listen, he just quoted Scripture. Brian, we know he knows this book. He's read the end of the book, I have to believe. He knows he loses. But here's the thing. He's going to take all he can with him until he gets there. And guess who his prime candidates are? United Baptists. He loves just to ruin your all's lives. Ruin your marriages. Ruin your lives. Run your testimonies at school. He wants to do all of that. Now, look real quick. I got a minute now. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth. What's the truth, Brother Greg? Bible. Alright? Then he says what? Have your feet, therefore having your loins girt about with the truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. How do you not? What's righteousness? That's what's been right in God's eyes. How can I do what's right in God's eyes, God? Follow the book. Now he says this. He said, having your feet shod in the preparation of the gospel of peace. What do you think the gospel of peace is, Jared? Book. So far, three pieces of armor is what? The book. Then he says, Above all, take the shield of faith wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fires of the devil or the fires of the darts of the wicked. Now, according to Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by... Oh, so what do you think the shield of faith is going to come by? The book. Well, this is pretty good, isn't it? Then he says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is Word of God. So pretty much, all of the defensive weaponry I've got on, all this armor, simply what? The book. But then he says, Anita, I've got one offensive weapon. I like offensive. I'm glad that God doesn't want Christians just to be a kicking bag. Don't you? You and I get to fight back. We don't have to walk around like this. The Bible said that Jesus was meek and lowly, and some people got him like this. You know what meek means? Power under control. Jesus could have stomped the devil. I'm saying that tonight, but I'm telling you, you and I are not supposed to just walk around this world like this. The Bible said we've got to take the sword of the Spirit, which is what? What happens to you and I is we blurt out what we think, we blurt out our word, we tell people what we think, and what they need to hear. But realistically, the only thing you and I need to say is what the book says. You know why? Because when they stand in judgment one day, this book is the only thing that's going to be open. Well, Brother Steve said, no, Brother Steve's words don't even make it. It's what's in the book that makes it. And so you and I have been accountable to live by this book. And you and I can get out of temptation by this book. This is how Jesus did it. This is how we can do it tonight. As we go out of these doors, we face temptation tonight. Let us understand how Jesus fought it. Let us understand who we are. Let's not blame it on the devil. Well, the devil got to me again today. No, your fleshly nature got to you again today. Your desires, your flesh got to you again today. But tomorrow's a new day. We're going to start again tomorrow. And you confess those sins before God, and you start brand new. Let's stand and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, tonight,